Abby Lincoln performing on We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, Max Roach and Abby Lincoln. And that particular piece was called Triptych Prayer Protest Piece. And that was just an excerpt of it, of a longer work. We'll play that maybe in this full length at the end of the program. We had a special interview broadcast with Amir Baraka, who's paying tribute to the Freedom Now Suite, Max Roach and Abby Lincoln, this evening at, We Insist, that is, Freedom Now Suite, this evening at Eastside Cultural Center in Oakland, 2277 International Boulevard at 23rd Avenue in Oakland, starts the concert, poetry reading, conversation, starts at 8 p.m., and Amir Baraka is going to be joined by the Musiki Roberson Quartet. On the 50th anniversary, the year of the historic recording, Freedom Now Suite, the great jazz singer Abby Lincoln transitioned to join the ancestors. That was August 14th, same day that the Haitian Revolution began. As did her longtime collaborator, the master drummer Max Roach, 3 years ago. The venerable writer-activist Amir Baraka, the last poet laureate of New Jersey, is in Oakland. He is here presently today, Friday, November 12th, to celebrate their contributions to African-American classical music and the cause of black liberation. We Insist, Max Roach's Freedom Now Suite, was a landmark collaboration in 1960, which conjoined the diasporic black struggles against white supremacy and apartheid in South Africa and the United States at the very moment of the Greensboro, North Carolina sit-ins and the bloody Sharpsville massacre in South Africa. The Freedom Now Suite moves from slavery to Emancipation Day to the contemporary civil rights struggle and African independence. And the cover of the Freedom Now Suite, We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, that is, there's a photograph of the artist sitting in that classic picture where the three young men were sitting at the lunch counter. I think it was the Woolworths lunch counter integrated. The Freedom Now Suite, We Insist Freedom Now Suite, was also a momentous turning point in Abby Lincoln's singing career, as her haunting call in response to Roach's drum signified a liberating moment, unleashing rage and anger as protest through music. The critical musical collaboration included the lyricist Oscar Brown Jr., tenor saxophonist Coleman Hawkins, percussionist Michael Olatunji, the dynamic trumpeter Booker Little, among others. Amir Baraka goes back many years with both Max Roach and Abby Lincoln from his early and later jazz reviews and the beginnings of the Black Arts Movement. Baraka performed together with Roach on numerous occasions and even wrote a biography of the master drummer. However, it's unpublished. Both he and his wife, Amina, have remained close and devoted to Abby Lincoln throughout her career, never missing a performance, an occasion to hear her sing live. And this tribute is a poetic tribute. It's going to be really magnificent this evening to masters of contemporary American culture who have most profoundly defined the power of love and struggle in our times. And certainly you don't want to miss it. And again, it's at Eastside Cultural Center this evening. We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, on its 50th anniversary. Eastside Cultural Center is located, again, at 2277 International Boulevard in Oakland. And the phone number there is 510-533-6629. And I had an opportunity to interview Mr. Baraka this afternoon for a little bit. He wasn't feeling at 100% completely, so didn't want to, you know, take too much of his time, but was able to have a nice interview with him about the work and its significance. And I'm going to play that presently. I wanted to ask you, my first question is, what is the cultural and historic significance of We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, in 2010, post-election of a black president, post-recent election, you know, the midterm elections, post-Oscar Grant?
Can you say that again? Because I'm, you know, my hearing is not that great. Sure, no problem.
And his phone connection is not that great.
Okay, no problem. What is the cultural and historic significance of We Insist Freedom Now Suite in 2010, post election of the first black president?
Yeah,
post Oscar Grant sentencing of Officer Messerly, etc.
Well, it's the same. It's the same. The struggle, you know, as you say, La Luta continua, the struggle continues. It's just at a different level, you know what I mean? The Oscar Grant thing is like a lynching. That's just, we've had a historical continuity of lynching and white supremacy. And what they were saying, what Max was saying, We Insist, they were talking about equal rights, you know, and self-determination. And Max and Abby were saying, We Insist. You know, it's not a question of gradualism. We insist that it does now, and it's as relevant today because it's the same thing. The reason that the kingdom could use those old sorrow songs and gospels to the rights movement is that even though the struggle continued, there was still relevance in some of the weapons that we used to struggle with. And so it is true today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When in your piece, The Myth of Sisyphus, you know, your retelling of that story,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, pushing that rock up the hill and then rolling back down. I was wondering, sort of juxtaposing that story with, you know, the story of We Insist, Freedom Now Suite.
Well, it's the same story. I mean, the same. Even though we brought here slaves, there were slave rebellions then. You know, the fact that you could have people running away then, and otherwise existing slavery, or running away and burning the, you know, slave master's house down, or poisoning all the livestock. It was still a question of We Insist. We're not going to be slaves. And I think that the problem today is a lot of people think that we've already achieved equal rights in this country. If you think you can shoot a white man in the back while he's laying on the floor and get away with like 2 or 3 months, you'll find out. You know, it's the same thing, a different level. It's just a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Say several years ago, they wouldn't even been this much fuss about it. They could just walk free. Now they have to make some fuss about it. But it's the same struggle, and we insist. You know, you say we want equal rights. We insist. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and same thing with the sisters. You know, you roll it up where you say, oh, you've got rid of police brutality. Then bang, or they show you haven't gotten rid of it. You roll it back down, so you got to insist again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. In your latest book, Digging, The Afro-American Soul of American Classical Music, which came out last year, you have like 3 chapters where you talk about Max Roach, and in one of the chapters, the great Max Roach, you have this wonderful poem, and you talk about the We Insist, and you talk about, you know, the tracks on that particular album and the personal sacrifice that Max Roach and Abby Lincoln, you know, I guess because they did this, you know, what happened to their careers as a result of this. And I want you to talk about, you know, the whole idea of censorship and what happened. I remember, I think someone told me that, well, I didn't actually know that there was, like, censorship in this country around creative expression until this particular document, and they said that they banned the cover because, you know, having, you know, that picture of, the historic picture of, you know, the young men sitting at, or staging of the young men sitting at that counter that they were integrating, like that part, you know, that the images were banned, and then you couldn't get the album. So why don't you could sort of talk about the particular product and the personal cost it was to these artists.
Yeah. Well, it always is, you know, and people are not aware of that. But say, just like Paul Lewison was the most famous Afro-American in the world at one point.
Mm-hmm.
At another point, he was under house arrest. They seized his passport. He had to go up to the border, the U.S. border, and sing to Canadians across the border because they closed all the venues to him. And this, and Paul Robeson at that time was as famous as Michael Jackson was, you know, later. It always happens. If you speak out against this injustice, they will shut you down. They will make it difficult for you. And, that, you know, my books used to be, you know, easily accessible, Lamas.
Mm-hmm.
They make certain, and the irony is that when I was talking about, you know, black nationalism, it was easier to get my books than when I started talking about Marxism and communism. No, they will make it difficult. Even Bruce Springsteen, for a year or so, you know, white boys can always bounce back, but even when he was singing that Born in the USA, it was the Vietnam War, going to fight the yellow man for the white man, they shut him down for a couple of years, you know, and then they let him reappear. But it's always that, you know, it's always that way. You have to take a hit. And even my poem, Somebody Blew Up America, I'm still paying for that. You know, you still, they take venues away that you would perform in. You know, they make other people pay security, saying that you're a security risk so that student groups can't afford you to come there. But Abby and Max paid that price. Once they start singing about, you know, we insist, let's talk about, you know, the sit-ins, riders, you know what I mean, the whole struggle, then their records got, you know, taken out of the front shelves, you understand, they were not as played as much. All those things drive a man, and Freedom Day, and then the stuff they did about Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know, All Africa, or, you know, the album where Abby just literally screaming throughout the whole album, and that's so beautiful because it is precisely not talking about a scream or singing about a scream, but screaming,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what made that so forceful. And their efforts were not in vain. You know, there's no apartheid in South Africa, although God knows we have to take another step. You know, like we got rid of white-only mayors and city councils in places like Newark, but we still got to struggle against, like, Negroes who don't want to be black.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to another level,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right, yeah. Could you talk about, you know, sort of what you talk about with regards to Max Roach, you know, the artist, and you talk about, you know, his greatness as a musician, and, you know, when he's alive, and, you know, now, you know, that he's an ancestor, with regards to sort of taking creative music, creative black music to another level. And then you reference another artist, Art Tatum, and, you know, his work is high art. I was wondering if you could sort of talk about Max Roach in the context of being an artist. And
well, Max Roach, I'd say, for like 40 years, 50 years, was the drummer. You know, when you thought of the drums, you thought of Max Roach. Everybody else came after Max, under Max, because of Max, sounded like Max.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a poem about that, you know, saying that's why we say Max, that's what we mean, Max. The maximum, because Max was the innovative drummer of the movement called bebop. That is, after swing, the drummer that came in with Charlie Parker and Bud Powell, he's on his smoke, and Miles Davis, who made those definitive records, you know, from the 40s on, and who continued with his different groups, you know, Max Roach, Clifford Brown, another one of his great groups. Then the various albums that Max put together over the years were always defining a new area, innovative, you know, creative, you know, the all percussion group M Boom near the end of his life was a great achievement and something that has to be, you know, thought about again, an all percussion group that not just is.
Hello?
You know, that's a deep achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Max Roach, another one of Max Roach's contributions.
Right, yeah. And then in your wonderful interview with Abby Lincoln, you talk about her similarly. And I was wondering if you could talk about her development, you know, as, you know, a film presence to, you know, finding, you know, her voice, and you know, what and how you describe that particular voice as a part of, you know, this standard, you know, that that she was a part of, you know, these other women singers that sort of set the standard for others that are coming, that came after.
Of the singers, the great singers, you know, and, you know, you could start with Bessie Smith and Ethel Waters, then Billie Holiday, then Ella Fitzgerald, then Sarah Vaughan, then you have to go to Abby Lincoln, you see, because she's of that innovative, you know, pace-setting group. She's the last one to carry that, you know, that baton, you know, and that's a baton, I guess, that you would say had to be picked up by somebody like Cassandra Wilson. Today, if you're going to, like, you know, talk about those kinds of things, but Abby took the singing to where it is now. You understand what I mean? Each main contributor to a genre brings that to where it is, the standard of excellence, you know, contemporarily. Mm-hmm. And that's what Abby Lincoln did, because Abby Lincoln was not only a great voice, and as you love to hear her voice, but she was a poet. And a lot of some of the finest of her songs are based on her poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the thing, Throw It Away.
Right.
You know, I think about the life I live, a figure made of clay. Woo. Of all the things I lost and the things I gave away. I mean, that is like such a poetic recollection of her life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Many lives, you know, that it's just, you know, breathtaking when you hear that presented with a voice like that, you know.
Right.
There's not only is it a high level of poetry, but then it's presented to you in such, you know, a beautiful fashion.
Yeah, and it's just really lovely reading, you know, your interview, because you say in the interview, you know, that you didn't necessarily, she didn't have to tell you some of the things that she told you. You know, it wasn't one of those kind of interviews, but then she shared a lot of things with you that's like, whoa, you know? I was thinking particularly about, you know, her relationship to her husband, and then her claiming Africa, you know, that being an African woman and claiming the name that, you know, that she was given. Well, you could talk about that, you know, with the Pan-African perspective of,
yeah, 16, Abby always insisted she was an African woman, you know, and I wrote a poem, I don't have it in front of me, I said something like that. I mean, she said she was an African woman with an Afro-American self. But it's true, she was the personification of what we might think of as the African woman, but she was also, in reality, an Afro-American woman. She had come in this place, in this time, dealing with these kinds of added complexities of being black, you know, and intelligent and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because Abby Lincoln was also one of the most beautiful women we've ever looked at, you know. So you have to put all that together. That's a formidable package.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah. And you, yeah, and she talks about that to you with regards to, and she, as she's finding herself as an artist, that, she, you know, she was more than the packaging. And
They, when she showed, that's what they tried to, she said they tried to make her the black Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And put her in that one of them tight-fitting dresses, that was supposed to be her place, you know, but they didn't know, they really didn't know, you know, so, no, and Abby constantly defined and redefined herself, you know, by the time she was singing, We Insist in those song, Driver Man, she had come completely into, like, her whole self, not only as a jazz singer, historian, poet, you know, but a chanteuse, if you will. So it was a very, very full presentation of character, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And didn't she author a collection called The Black Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really wonderful collection of essays. By different authors.
Yeah, we also published, my wife Amina and I published her poetry in the book Confirmation.
Okay.
The Anthology of Afro-American Women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was very happy to be in that. She wanted to know why we didn't include more of her poetry. But she was, you know, like, I thought, outstanding contributions. And you could see that kind of mind that she had, you know what I mean? That was the most important thing, that her mind was so important, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, definitely. And, you know, just as Abby Lincoln and Max Roach, you know, were a creative team, You're similar in that aspect, you know, that you and your wife are a creative team. I was wondering if you could talk about sort of the positive aspects, or maybe even some of the drawbacks as well, of having a partner that is also an artist and sort of coming from the same philosophical place as you are coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you say, there's a sympathy, a sympathetic relationship there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not always easy because, you know, artists tend to be a pain in the behind sometimes, like myself. But it's what it is, and that's the only way you would have it. You would not have anything else. I mean, you know, I mean, life itself is full of ups and downs. You would not have it any other way, you know. And so there's a kind of sympathy in terms of understanding what it is you're talking about, what it is you're trying to do. You know, I mean, the idea of art, the idea of revolutionary art particularly, you have to begin, that's, like I say, that's our base. We begin with that as the confirmation of who we are, that we are artists, revolutionary artists. And people like Max and Abby have always been heroes to us.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy and Ruby.
Right.
These have been heroes to us because they are the kind of dynamic proof that it's possible to be in love and be at war at the same time. You know, so that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was actually mistaken. Abby Lincoln has a piece in The Black Woman, but it was edited by Tony K. Bambara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my last question is with regards to this evening at Eastside Arts Alliance, you're going to be paying tribute to Max Roach and Abby Lincoln, and you're going to be joined by the Musiki Roberson Quartet. And I was wondering sort of what you have planned for your audience this evening.
Well, yeah, talk about, you know, Max and Abby do some of their poetry, quote some of the interviews, and then, you know, some of my own poetry. You know, and then I guess whatever kind of questions we can answer about that. You know, Abby Lincoln Memorial was incredible. You know, it was a great, great, great thing. It's unfortunate that many of those kind of great things only happen when people die.
Right.
But there are all kinds of musicians there. And, you know, then after the memorial, which is at Abyssinia Church, which lasted about 4 hours, you know, all kind of singers were there, pianist Abby's band, Oscar Brown's daughter, Maggie Brown, stole the show. Then we went down that night to the Blue Note, and from 12:30 until 4:30 in the morning, we jammed for Abby again.
Wow.
So it was, you know, it was something really. And, no, so it was a great thing, and it was only fitting that we do that for her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's somebody that deserves that, you know, minimally. You know.
Right, yeah.
Well, anyway, I've got a terrible cold, by the way. And,
sorry to hear that.
I'm going to try to stand up tonight anyway.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you this evening.
Okay. You take care of yourself.
You too. Peace and blessings. And when you pray to find your
Celebrating, we insist, the 50th anniversary of We Insist, Freedom Now Suite, Max Roach and Abby Lincoln. You are listening to Amiri Baraka, who is going to be paying tribute to Max Roach and Abby Lincoln this evening, Friday, November 12th, 2010, 8 p.m. at East Side Cultural Center, 2277 International Boulevard at 23rd Avenue in Oakland, California. For information, you can call area code 510-533-6629, or you can visit eastsideartsalliance.com for all of the information. You can stay posted on what Eastside Arts Alliance is up to. They're always up to some good stuff, particularly socially conscious and socially relevant work where art meets activism. Certainly, Eastside Arts Alliance is the place. And thanks again, as I said, for tuning in to Wanda's Picks. We'll see you on Wednesday morning. Oh, actually, there's a special broadcast at 1 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 16th. And we're going to have some cast members from The Color Purple, which is going to be opening at the end of November in San Jose. And we might have some other guests. You have to tune in and see. And then our regularly scheduled show is Wednesday morning, 6 to 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. All righty, you take good care. Peace and blessings.